Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. If you have your Bibles with you today, go ahead and look with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 down to verse 4, and then we're going to skip down to verse 16 to verse 20. So if you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Now drop down, if you will, to verse 16. Very well-known passage of Scripture here. It says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again today, what a blessing again it has been from what we've already received and just sensing your presence in this place. But now, Father, as we've opened up this passage of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, I know that you have recorded it and preserved it for us so that we might learn from it. I ask that you would just empower the preaching of your word once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 2, Isaiah records what God says when he says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now that's what Isaiah presents that God had given him to speak, Isaiah being the prophet of God. And then we find that Isaiah actually wrote it down, and God has preserved it for us to be able to read the very same thing and hear exactly what God had said to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. He says, hear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O earth. God wants us to give ear, even today, 21st century, looking back over, seeing God and what he has to say about a rebellious Israel. much for us to learn from that even today. Give ear. He's saying to them, listen to what God has to say about it. O earth, you need to understand who God is. And you need to understand what God has to say about rebellion. I wonder here, in verse 3 he says, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people doth not consider. How does a thankful and committed nation that was under God turn completely away from him? Now, this nation, of course, that he's speaking to is the nation of Israel that God hath raised up, brought out of the land of Egypt, and actually gave them the promised land, enabled them to go in and possess the land flowing with milk and honey under the leadership of Joshua. It's important. Joshua, we're in a Wednesday night. We just started a new series on Wednesday night and the Bible character study on the servant Joshua. And tremendous. We just had an introduction to this last Wednesday. And just it's going to be a tremendous study on Wednesday night, Bible study. But under the leadership of Joshua, God was able to bless Israel and give them the promised land, which would be the will of God. And being in the will of God, they could enjoy the blessings of God, enjoy life in the promised land. But then they would turn completely away from God. A nation that had been under God has turned completely away from God. Now, I believe that America can learn from this. America is, we say the pledge to the flags every Sunday morning. One nation under God. Today, people don't want to remember and look back at the history and to be able to acknowledge that we are under God. Our forefathers wanted everyone to understand that this is a nation under God. A nation that has accepted and applied the Word of God. Yeah. So how does a thankful and committed nation under God turn completely away from Him? And the answer would be, next generations. The next generations. Because in verse 3 it reveals to us that an ox and even a donkey show appreciation for who provides for them. But somehow Israel had forgot. And they would not even consider. And God calls this rebellion because they do not want to acknowledge God or consider God and how they would live their lives. See, somewhere down the line, they failed to learn and consider their need for God. And I hate it because as we look back over even our lifetime, we see America doing the very same thing, failing to learn and consider what God's done for us. We established the United States of America and we were able to win our freedom. We were a thankful and committed nation under God. There's no doubt about that. But have we forgotten and no longer consider? You see, rebellion in Israel became an accepted lifestyle. And not only did it become an accepted lifestyle, it was a preferred lifestyle. To where God was not even considered concerning how they would live their lives. This morning, as we look here, there's three points I'm wanting to look at and consider and help us to learn from this passage of Scripture here. And the first is, what is biblical rebellion? Because that's what God's talking about here. It's biblical rebellion. And ask the question, is America guilty of this? And also even personalize it and say, am I guilty of this and somewhat blinded to it? Biblical rebellion is when we know what the Bible says or what God would have us to do, and we turn away from doing it. The definition, Webster's definition of rebellion is to be defiant, to resist authority. There's no greater and higher authority than God. Proverbs in chapter 17, let me just read this to you. Write this down, though. But Proverbs in chapter 17 and verse 10 says this, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. An evil man with evil thoughts, evil tendencies, does not want to be under any authority, does not want to be told what to do, does not want to have convictions over whatever they choose to do or how to live their lives. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. We think about rebellion and we ask ourselves, am I living in rebellion without even realizing it? I think most of us would agree that every teenager will experience the temptation to rebel because they're just now realizing that they have a life to live. And they won't always be under the authority of their parents. And they're trying to determine what direction in life they will go. And so I believe that Satan will, no doubt, bring this great temptation into the heart and mind, more so of a teenager than possibly any other stage of life. And as every teenager will experience a temptation to rebel, most will rebel to some degree. We have the teachings of the prodigal son that helps us to see some of this rebellion. But as I got thinking about this, as I was preparing the message, I thought back and had to think a long way back, but I thought back to my teenage years. Because that's my history. And I know exactly what was going on inside of me in my history. And I rebelled. I thought I knew more than I actually knew. And I thought I wanted a different lifestyle than what my parents were raising me to live. Because it's a different generation. It's a different world than what my parents lived in when they were teenagers. And I remember rebelling against the authority of my parents who were raising me under the authority of the Bible. And I got thinking about that. How many can think back to teenage years and seen your rebellion? Okay, let's go with the other. Anybody want to say that I never was tempted to rebel when I was a teenager? You don't have to confess what you did in your rebellion, but the idea of the temptation to rebel, not all teenagers rebel, praise the Lord. You are not in a place where you have to rebel. You don't have to sow your wild oats. You don't have to experience things that you think you need to experience. I'm not telling you it's all right to rebel. It's never right to rebel. But the greatest temptation to rebel will be in your teenage years. And your rebellion can scar the rest of your lives and do the most damage. So even though I think our teenagers need to realize during the teenage years, there's going to be that great temptation to rebel. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But we need to help them to see rebellion is of the devil. It's evil. It's not of God. But many will, to some degree, give in to rebellion. Now, I thank God it didn't last a long time in my life because I was saved. It does make a difference. Because I had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, even though I didn't understand, I had it. And I had the conviction and even the chastisement. But what about those that weren't saved? They impact society with their rebellion to a biblical society and don't even realize it. Because they don't know God. And they've never given credit to God. And so they think this is natural. It's just a difference in generations who want to live different than the past generation. Who want to define their own morality. Who want to determine their own lifestyle. And they impact society. Because those teenagers become adults. Next generation. The reason for rebellion is next generation. Judges chapter 2. This is what the Bible teaches us. It has gone on ever since the beginning of time. Judges in chapter 2 helps define it. Because Joshua led the nation of Israel. They were thankful. They were committed. But what happened for them to turn completely away from God? In Judges chapter 2 and verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount Ephraim of the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation, all the generation that knew Joshua and remembered what God did for them and had appreciation for what God did for them and realized they needed God in their lives. All that generation were gathered into their fathers. Means they died as well. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Maybe without even realizing it was against God, because they didn't, never had been taught who God was and why we need him in our lives. But they knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Whether they realize it or not, if you're living in sin, you're provoking the Lord to anger, to judgment. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, gods of the immorality. Wow. Verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, this happened generation after generation. God would raise a judge. He would teach. He would show. He would reveal the power of God. They would turn back to God until the judge died. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. And they ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. That's rebellion. That's biblical rebellion. What does biblical rebellion do? I trust you understand. Now, biblical rebellion is understanding who God is, what God's done, and knowing what God would have us to do, how God would have us to live, and knowing that, then we turn away from that. Biblical rebellion, rebelling against the words of God, the ways of God. So what does biblical rebellion do? Isaiah, back in our text, everybody following me this morning? Amen. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Wow. That's what it does. Produces a sinful nation. Even if the people of that society, of that nation, do not acknowledge it as being sinful, because of who God is and what God has said, if it's opposite God's word and God's ways, it is sinful. But you produce an evil nation by not calling sin, sin. You produce an evil nation by actually calling evil good and good evil. And we see it repeating generation after generation until we're experiencing it in our generation. If it's sinful, whether the people acknowledge it or not, God will not bless sin. And you provoke the Lord God to judgment or anger. It produces a people laden with iniquity. Or, if you will, living a lifestyle of sin. Living a lifestyle and thinking that everyone else ought to adhere to their lifestyle. And if you don't adhere to their thoughts and their lifestyle, you need to be deprogrammed. even though the whole nation used to be programmed this way. The whole nation has said pledges to our flag to be one nation under God. And we're not under God, and we're unless we are under His authority. So then it produces a seed of evildoers. An ungodly generation raising an even more ungodly generation because it's an evil seed. No matter how ungodly you think people might be today, if they raise their children with those kind of thoughts and ungodly deeds, their children will even be worse and more separated from God than any generation before them. That's what the Bible says. That's what biblical rebellion does. And ultimately, verse 4, forsaken the Lord. Forsaken. No desire. Don't want a part of it. Don't want any part of it. The Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That forsaken means, it doesn't mean that you don't want to go. Not to forsake, I'm sorry, let's back that up a little bit. To forsake means I don't want to go. Not that I don't always go. Sometimes I can't go. Sometimes I'm sick, I shouldn't go. But I want to go because I'm not forsaking it. I desire it. To forsake it says, I want to find every excuse, but I don't want to go. And so I'm going to make whatever excuse I need to not to go. I don't want it in my life. Forsaken the Lord. No desire to consider God in any decisions that I have to make in my life. Do you know anybody like that? Have you been tempted with those very same thoughts? Because you know what God says to do, and you don't want to really do that, and so you just forsake that and go ahead and do whatever you want to do anyway. And then ultimately, it provoked the Holy One. And God is holy. Because God is holy, God's children ought to be holy. What's God's solution? God always has a solution. We need to focus more on God's solution. Can I tell you, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're battling, God has a solution for you. But you have to submit. You have to acknowledge God. And you have to acknowledge you being under God. And then you have to do exactly what God says. The solution is found in the last few verses that we read. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Wash you. Make you clean. Realize you have sin in your life that needs to be cleansed. You have some filthy thoughts in your mind that need to be washed. You have some filthy ways that you've yielded to that need to be corrected. Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. And learn to do well. stop rebellion, cease to do evil, and learn to do well. Learn of God and our need for God. And teach the next generation about who God is and why we need Him. The next generation. It begins with parents. Ephesians in chapter 6, it is given instructions. God's will is for every child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because God knows that child is going to become a teenager and is going to be faced with the temptations to rebel, especially during the teenage years. And if they don't get saved before they become a teenager, they're not going to understand why it's wrong to do what they want to do. They're not going to understand who God is and why God says, this is how I want to live. I want you to live your life. And they might rebel, but if they're saved, they're not going to continue in rebellion, because the Spirit of God's going to bring them back. But if they're not saved before they rebel, they're not going to turn around. They're going to continue to influence society with their thoughts of backslidden, the ways of a backslidden believer. They're going to turn away from godliness and turn to the evil of the world. And that will influence the next generation and the next society, of our generation of society. So God says, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, so important. Don't give up the most important thing that God has for you to do on this earth for money. Satan's betting on you giving that up to earn more money and justifying it by, I want them to have what I didn't have. If you had a Christian upbringing, you have more to offer them than all the money that there is to be made in this world. If we fail to raise them, to help them to know who God is and why we need God, they're not going to remember or know who God is and understand their need for God in the next generation. Parents, you need to find that church, a biblical church, to help keep from biblical rebellion. And let the church help you with the responsibility that God has given to you. It's not the responsibility of the church to raise the kids. It's not. It's not the government's responsibility to raise the kids. It is the parents' responsibility to raise them according to God's word. But God has established a church to be a great help in accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. The problem is that too many are looking for spiritual enabling to rebel. Spiritual enabling, meaning they want spirituality without holiness. They want spirituality without doing it God's way. And you'll find a church that will tell you whatever you want to hear. That's the generation, the society that we're living in. And many of them want just entertainment. They don't want conviction. They want to come as we are and leave as you were. They want their kids to enjoy the activities and fellowship and everything else without the conviction of godliness. And so when the rebellion comes, most might not ever be saved. And if they are saved, they don't want holiness. Can I tell you, this church wants to influence everyone who comes to the doors of this church with this Bible. Without apology. If you're coming here, can I tell you, I want to do everything I can possibly do to influence you according to the Bible. Every staff member on our staff is wanting to do everything they can possibly do to influence you to understand and live by the Bible. Because we know the most important thing that we can do is help people to understand our need for God and who He is and what He requires of us. We need that today. The only hope for our future generation is for us to influence people to understand who God is and the need that we have for God. We need biblical truth. Our children need biblical truth. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17. Learn to do well. And he gives us some things here that we need to learn. He says, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Love God and love your neighbor. And do what God would have you to do and do whatever you can do to be a help and a blessing to your neighbor. It goes on. There's so many things like that. But the most important thing here and the key to that is seek judgment. Seek judgment. Look to God for all that He would have us to do. Look to God. Acknowledge His authority. Don't look to rebel, but rather submit. What ultimately helped me was that when I submitted myself to God's authority. God revealed Himself to me as my authority as a saved young man. And He revealed to me the very last thing, if you don't turn back to Me, I'm going to take your life. I will not allow you to continue to live in this world the way you want to because you're My child. God very clearly revealed that to me. Because God revealed that to me and I understood it to be true, I submitted myself to seek God's judgment. What I mean by that is I said, God, I want accountability. Convict me when I need to be convicted. Chasten me when I need to be chastened. I yield myself to You. And I sought to be accountable to God. First thing He wanted me to do was seek to be accountable to His church under a pastor who would teach me the Word of God. I learned accountability. An illustration I've used before, maybe not, I've never preached this message, but I've used the illustration because it's so good. Growing up, I always had animals. We had pigs, I slopped the pigs, we had cows, we just bought a different cow every year, butchered it, you know, had our own meat. The pigs were more for a garbage disposal than anything else. But I remember having been given a full-blooded German Shepherd pup. And I remember loving that pup. I mean, I took care of that dog. I fed it by hand. Anything that dog wanted, I would give to. Now, it wasn't a house dog. It was a German Shepherd. My mom and dad wouldn't let me sleep with me. If they would let me, I probably would have had it sleep with me. But they didn't. But I would take care of it. I inherited a Heinz 57 mutt. It came around the house. My sister, Penny, loved it. Little brown mutt, Heinz 57, who knows what kind of bloodline. But she loved it, and so the dog stayed. I called my German Shepherd Thunder. I had many Thunders in my lifetime. Dog after dog, Thunder or Lightning. Just two names I really liked. As Thunder got older, and now he's about a year old, and something started changing inside of him, and he did not want to be accountable. He did not want to stay in the yard. No matter what I would do, he would find a way to get loose. And no matter how high the fence was, he learned not only to jump, but he learned to climb it. As long as I'm in the yard, he's fine. He's right there with me, and we're having a good time. I leave, go in, he's gone. Over the fence. He did not want to be accountable to me. I tried everything I could. One day, Thunder didn't come home. And as I went out looking for him like I usually do, and I'd find him somewhere within a couple blocks, I found him, but he was dead in the middle of the street, got hit by a car. I got home. Even though I had been leaving the garage door open, leaving the fence door open, BB, I wanted him to leave. He never would leave. Because he wanted to be accountable. Every time he saw me, he wanted to come up, wag his tail. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Pet me, pet me. When I come home, Thunder was dead, but BB was right in his place. What I'm saying. You don't want to be accountable. God's going to let you run away only so many times. Eventually, he's going to take you home. Don't rebel. Don't rebel. I had the fence there for safety. Trying to help him to see, I love you. I want you to love me. I want you to want me to pet you. I want you to want to be around me. I don't want you to run away. Because I know the dangers that are out there. Today, God knows the dangers that are out there. He wants you to submit to him and turn away from rebellion. If I could have every head bowed this morning. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I'll forgive you and cleanse you. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You can have the blessings. I want you to want me. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Are you rebelling without even realizing it? Realize it. Confess it. Turn back. Seek the judgment, the accountability with God. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this message from Isaiah to the nation of Israel, but also, your message to all the earth, for every generation, and for us here today. Help us to apply it. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.